podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
About a year ago, there was a violin that was put up for auction and sold for $1.7 million. And it's not even a Stradivarius, just an ordinary-looking, ordinary-sounding violin. But what's so special about it that it would sell for $1.7 million? Well, the violin was purchased originally in 1910 for about $60 by Maria Robinson for her fiancé, Wallace Hartley. And she had the violin engraved for Wallace on the occasion of our engagement from Maria. But that's not what makes the violin so valuable, at least for someone who would purchase it at auction anyway. But Wallace Hartley, the original owner of the violin in 1912, was the band leader on a ship that you may have heard about called the RMS Titanic. And survivors of the Titanic reported that as the ship was sinking and lifeboats were being boarded with folks, Wallace Hartley and his bandmates played a hymn on the deck of that boat as the boat was going down. Now, it's been memorialized in two movies. One movie called A Night to Remember, which is probably the best movie about the Titanic, older movie. And then another more modern movie, which was a blockbuster, just called Titanic by James Cameron, which was really a movie about premarital sex on a boat, but let's not get into that. The song that they played on that sinking boat was Nearer My God to Thee. Do you know that song? Just sing it with me just for a moment. Nearer My God to Thee. Nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be nearer my God to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. Let me just read the rest of the words for you. Though like the wanderer the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. In the last verse of this great hymn, or if on joyful wing cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly. Still, all my song shall be nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Now, some say that after playing the hymn, that Hartley returned his prized violin to its case and strapped it to his waist. He then turned to his bandmates and calmly said, "Gentlemen, I bid you farewell," moments before all of them were swept into the frigid waters of the Atlantic Ocean to their death. And the violin was recovered along with Hartley's body and returned to his heartbroken fiancée, Maria Robinson. And it was found years later in an attic, largely forgotten. And then 101 years later, it was sold at auction for $1.7 million because of the story behind that violin, because of the lives in that story, because of what this man was willing to do on the deck of that, and because of the hymn that he chose to play on that violin at that moment, which was so appropriate, because the hymn, Nearer My God to Thee, is a popular funeral hymn. Because of what it talks about. It's been played at the funerals of presidents and dignitaries, and the thought behind it is heartwarming. It says that death for a believer in Jesus Christ is really just a necessary step in drawing near to God. And the words the hymn say, you know, no matter what happens to me, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm being drawn nearer to the Father. Even if it's on a cross that I'm raised, at least I'm closer to God. Beautiful words and a beautiful story. But as important as that truth is, I want you to realize something, that you do not have to die in order to experience nearness to God. You will eventually, and there will be nearness to God like you've never experienced on earth, but you can get close here in this world, because as we have seen, He invites us to draw near to Him now. He doesn't say, come to know me as Lord and Savior, and then somewhere down the road you're going to be in my presence. He says, come to know me as Lord and Savior, and then live your life and walk in my presence day by day by day. And then, when it comes time for them to play Nearer My God to Thee over your casket, your soul will be with Jesus. And it won't be a stranger that you meet there, but someone that you've walked with and drawn near to all of your days. Remember James chapter 4, verse 8, where we started this journey. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. And our passage this morning is another one of these invitations. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 851. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 19 through 25. 19 through 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Aren't you glad you're in church this morning when you hear that last verse there? Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, right? See, because you're in church this morning, you can look at that verse and say, yeah, some of those people are in the habit of not meeting together. I'm here where I belong, right? Well, let's look at the rest of this passage this morning. The first thing I want to show you in this passage is the approach for drawing near. What is our approach when we draw near to God? What should our attitude be when we draw near to God as He has welcomed us, invited us to be in His presence? Well, look at verse 19, chapter 10, verse 19. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. And then look at verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. As we saw last week, God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. You might say that someone with a sincere heart is worshiping God in their spirit and also in truth, in sincerity. And then look at verse 23. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. So we have confidence before God. We have a sincere heart before God, and we are steadfast, unswerving before God. Unswerving means we're not double-minded. We don't vacillate between God and the world, that we approach God unswervingly with all of our hearts and with our minds completely made up, with a sincere heart of worship and with confidence. That is the approach that we must draw near to God with. Not being cocky about it, not being presumptuous about it, not being prideful in the presence of God, but doing this humbly. Now think about that for a moment, because maybe you don't put those together typically. Can you be confident and humble at the same time? Can you be confidently humble or humbly confident? Is it possible? Well, look no further than the example of Jesus, right? Who went humbly yet confidently through his work here on earth, serving others and treating them better than himself, humbly, yet carrying himself in confident godliness, knowing precisely who he was in this life. Living steadfastly with a sincere heart without wavering. So our confidence is not in our own strength. Our confidence comes from standing before a holy God, drawing before him confidently but still humbly. Now, how do we maintain such a confidence to stand before a holy God? How do we maintain confidence when it is God, the God of the universe, our Creator that we're standing before? Even though we are sinners and he is holy, how do we come before him with confidence? Well, look at verse 22. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. That brings us to number two, the assurance for drawing near. How can we stand confidently before a holy God even though we are sinners? Well, look again at the text. Verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. And then look at verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And then verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Whenever you see these three ingredients mixed together in a passage of Scripture, it's like heaven. You know, it's like oil and garlic and onions. You know, there's just you just put those things together and they fit, right, in the pan. Well, here we have faith, hope, and love, these three ingredients mixed together. And how can we stand confidently before a holy God, even though we're sinners? Because we have faith in our God, because we have hope in his promises, and because we have his love coursing through our lives. Faith, hope, and love. Now you need to understand this morning that God responds to faith. God responds to faith. That when we move ahead in our lives with a heart that is full of faith, and when we put our hope squarely in the promises of God, God is moved by that. That he looks for people of faith through whom he can work in this world. Now, how do I know this? Well, first of all, it was by faith that you were saved. That the fact that you're sitting here this morning, a forgiven sinner, able to draw near in the presence of God, is a fact because you believed. Faith is the key that unlocks the blessing of salvation. You remember this story? Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were singing praise songs, and they were praying, and they were talking to all of their fellow prisoners about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sharing their faith with everyone, and you know, it should teach you a lesson. You don't want to get thrown into jail with an evangelist, right? Because this is what you're going to get. Singing and praying and sharing their faith and preaching sermons and talking about the Word of God all within this prison. And suddenly there was an earthquake and the doors fell open and all the chains fell off the prisoners. The jailer, who was sitting at the front of the prison, took his sword out and was prepared to kill himself because he knew that the prisoners had escaped. And he knew that the punishment for that was the death penalty. So he was going to take matters into his own hands. Well, Paul said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't hurt yourself. We're still here. We haven't gone anywhere, which was a surprise to the jailer. So he went back into the jail. It came trembling before Paul and Silas and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've been listening to what you've been saying, hearing your songs, the joy of your hearts, the love you have for God. You've been talking about this Jesus. Just tell me what I must do to be saved, because I got to have this. Do you know what the answer was? What must I do to be saved? Did Paul say, well, you need to stop drinking. That's the first thing. Stop drinking. You know some of those things you've been doing, those habits you have? You need to stop doing those things. That's how you get saved. You need to start coming to church. The only way to get saved is to start coming to church. You need to get a haircut. Your hair is much too long. You need to clean up your life, right? You just need to get things right. You need to make a donation to the Apostle Paul Get Out of Prison Fund, okay? There's a lot of steps you need to take in order to be saved. But he didn't say any of that. Paul said nothing of the sort. In fact, in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 to 31, we read what he said. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household. Now, they went back to his house. They preached the gospel to his family. They all got saved. They all got baptized. And all they had to do was believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their faith in him. God responds to our faith in his Son. That is the key that unlocks salvation for us. This is how we are saved, by believing in him. We cannot draw near to God with confidence and sincerity apart from faith. If we're going to draw near to God, we better bring our faith with us. How do I know that? Well, you got your Bible open to Romans. Look at chapter 11 and verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You want to please God? You better bring your faith. You better believe. And so part of drawing near to God is this aspect of faith. You remember the story from the Gospels where Jesus was teaching and preaching in this crowded home in Capernaum, and suddenly dirt from the roof started falling on people in that room, and they started to look up at the ceiling like, what on earth is going on here? And they saw a hole being opened in the ceiling. Eventually, the hole's big enough that they're able to lower this paralyzed man, his friends lower him down on a mat right before Jesus in the middle of this room, and everybody's watching, what on earth is going on here? And as all of this is taking place, Mark chapter 2, verse 5 tells us, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And eventually the man got up off the mat and walked. I don't know what the homeowner thought of the whole thing. You know, someone's going to pay for this, right? But I do know that this man's life was changed in an instant because he and his friends demonstrated faith, and Jesus would not ignore that faith because God is moved by our faith. This we should have learned by now, right? As believers in Jesus Christ, this we should have learned by now, that faith moves the hand of God. When he sees your faith, trusting in his word, praying to him, living according to his word, stepping out into obedience, that when God sees that faith, whether it's an individual or whether it's a church, God moves on the basis of that faith to save us, to draw us near to him, to walk with us each day, to make us responsible to do his will. He responds to our faith in his word. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith comes from the word, and we are instructed to walk by faith. And here we are instructed to draw near with full assurance of faith. If we're ever going to draw near to God in our lives, it's because of our faith. And the more our faith increases, the nearer we are drawn. But please recognize that our faith must be placed in him. The only reason we can draw near to God with confidence in full assurance of faith is because God has made that way for us. God is the one who has opened that way for us. He has provided, number three, the avenue to draw near. Back to Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, a priest is someone who stands between us and God, who represents God for us. It says that we have the blood of Jesus, we have the body of Jesus, we have the priesthood of Jesus standing between us and God. And then as the passage continues, it says, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance of that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. All of these things are possible only because God sent His Son Jesus into this world as a baby, that He grew into a man who served Him, who did great miracles, who taught wonderful truths, who spread the good news, and then who went to the cross and died as a criminal and rose again from the dead. Because of those truths, the gospel, the good news, we can draw near to God in full assurance of faith, because God has done everything He can possibly do to open the way for us to draw near to Him. We draw near to God because God is the one who made the promise. God is the one who kept the promise. God is the one who is faithful. So understand this today, that you can draw near to God with confidence and full assurance of faith, that you can stand before God in sincerity of heart, unswervingly, because you have faith and hope in His promises, and a heart filled with love because the Father has drawn you to Himself. You can stand in that place today because God has torn down every barrier, because God has sacrificed His Son, because God has washed away your sin, because God has done everything required to draw you near to Him. And if you're not drawing near, let me put it this way, if you're not drawing near, it ain't His fault. It ain't His fault. He says, I've done it all. I've saved you. I've sent my Son. I've opened the way. I've done everything I can possibly do to draw you near to myself. Now, what will it take for you to come near? Will you step forward in faith, in full assurance, in confidence, and hope in His Word, and say, this is who I believe in, this is what I believe, step forward in faith and draw near to God. Now, I don't just mean once. I mean each and every day of our lives we need to live in that type of faith, in confident assurance that He is our God and He's done everything that He can do to draw us near. For 28 years, there was an 87-mile-long wall that stood in the German city of Berlin. We all know about this, grew up understanding this. It was a dividing wall built by the communist regime intended to keep East Germans from fleeing to democratic West Germany. And from 1961 until 1989, the wall separated this city, isolating and keeping families and friends apart from one another. And West Berlin was completely isolated except for some specific routes to get back to West Germany. And eventually, over time, the politics changed and the wall was destroyed. We remember the pictures, if you were alive at the time, on television, of that wall being torn apart. You remember President Reagan confident in saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. You remember these events. Well, about a month ago, on November 9th of this year, the unified nation of Germany celebrated the 25th anniversary of the destruction of the Berlin Wall. And in order to do this, artists constructed a representation of the wall in about 8,000 helium balloons. And these balloons were on these long rods, and they were about the same height as the original wall. And they followed the exact location of the original Berlin Wall. And you see, young Germans had only heard stories. See, if you're younger than 25 in Germany, you hear stories about the wall, but you weren't there to experience it. So there had to be some way for them to have a visual representation, and they did it with balloons. On November 9th, an orchestra played Beethoven's Ode to Joy, and the balloons were released, commemorating the wall's destruction 25 years ago, celebrating the reunification of Germany. I don't know how I missed all of this in the news. I saw an article about it in World Magazine. I hadn't seen this in the news. There must have been something incredibly important happening here in the United States of America on November 9th. In fact, there were some important things going on. But we missed the world news, and what a beautiful celebration. What a beautiful way to celebrate the falling of a wall and the reunification of a people. And when we see that, when I see that, I can't help but think that all of the wonderful things that we see in our passage this morning are made possible by the falling of a dividing wall. Our passage says that Jesus has provided for us by His body and His blood a new and a living way for us to draw near to God, that Jesus broke down the wall that separates us from God, that our sin problem that has separated us from God has been demolished by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can draw near. We can draw near. It's up to us, with hearts full of faith, with spirits full of confidence, to step up and to draw near to God. We don't commemorate this fallen wall with balloons, but we commemorate our fallen wall with bread and the cup to symbolize the body and the blood of Jesus that have been sacrificed for us in order to make a way for us to draw near. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the love that You have shown to us. We thank You, Father, that You love us so much that You didn't leave us to die in our sins. Father, we thank You that You are a God that created us to have a relationship with You, and Father, that You didn't give up on us. We thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to come to live the life that we can't live, and then to die a death on the cross in our place so that we can have forgiveness of our sins, that You opened up the way for us by faith to know You as Savior and Lord, and Father, to draw near, not just after we die, but each and every day of our lives. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that it would be the prayer of our hearts, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. And even today, now, as we prepare to come to the table, Lord, I pray that You would remind us by this bread and this cup of the great sacrifice that was made for us so that we could draw near. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.